You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless, and it's the voice of the north of Scotland. In Peterhead, the wisest 15-year-old, maybe 16 now, in Christendom. Robert, in Peterhead, go ahead. Robert?
Good evening, George. It's been a while.
Are you 16 now?
I am 16 now, yes.
Excellent. But you're just as wise. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I think with regards to the whole topic of Saudi Arabia, I mean, I know I'm a bit late with this, but don't you find it a bit ironic that the nation that has been appointed the head of United Nations Human Rights is the very, very nation that does not respect human rights whatsoever?
It's beyond parody, Robert.
Exactly.
The state where there are no human rights at all, and they boast of that, are now in charge of an important panel dealing with human rights at the United Nations, namely Saudi Arabia. You couldn't make that up.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So, the nation that chops off people's heads in the streets, who whips people, who bans women from driving, has been appointed the head of the
crucify.
United...
They're about to crucify a young boy.
Exactly, crucifixion as well. And it is selling guns and arms and training and money to the very, very same people with their exact Wahhabist extremist beliefs in Syria and Iraq.
What's the difference between Saudi Arabia and ISIL? I really couldn't work that out.
Exactly, there is no difference whatsoever between Syria and ISIL.
I suppose ISIL are not in the casinos and the bordellos spending their country's money, at least
well,
not yet.
Not in the bordellos and casinos of the United States and the United Kingdom, George.
Yes. Well, it's unbelievable. So why do you think they're not prevailing? They've thrown all this high-powered weaponry at the poorest country in the Arab world, one of the poorest countries in the entire world, but they still cannot prevail. Why?
Exactly, and I think the answer to this question is exactly the same answer to why could Israel not succeed in bringing the people of Palestine to submission in Gaza last year, and now with the third intifada that's raging on as we speak. It's because the people of Yemen have the will in their heart to resist and to survive and to basically have this ideology in their hearts that it will end and that they will make it end.
Ameen. Wonderful. Wonderful contribution, Robert. Keep coming. Even when you're 17, you'll still be wise. Let's go to Shokat in London.
Hello.
Shujat, I beg your pardon. Shujat in London. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good. I'm in good form tonight. Go ahead.
In answer to your question, George, I'll ask you a few more questions. I mean, why couldn't the Americans overthrow the Vietnamese in the 30 years of the war? What happened? Why couldn't the Americans and the Europeans overthrow Iran in the Iran-Iraq war? Why couldn't the Americans win in Korea or something? You know, all these imperial wars. This is also an imperial war, and imperial wars always end up in defeat for the imperialists, utter devastation for the imperialists. And this is the end of Saud, I think. I mean, I remember the last king of Saudi Arabia, as once commented before his death, just passed away, he said that if the end of the Saud comes, it will come through Yemen. Rukn Yemeni will start shaking, and that's exactly what's happening. So the end of Saud is coming. They're committing suicide there by killing poor people, helpless people. They think they can conquer them. They can't do that. They just can't.
I mean, can't. And who wants to die for Saudi Arabia's royal family? I mean, what kind of death would that be?
They're doing
what
it for
kind
themselves.
Of point would there be in dying for these hypocrites, these tyrants?
I quite agree with you. I entirely agree with you. It's an imperial war. It will never end this way. I mean,
they tried to press gang, the Pakistani army, into doing their fighting for them, but that was refused by Pakistan. I see they've sent some Sudanese soldiers there now, to the shame of Sudan, I must say.
That's a different story, George.
They're not doing a lot of fighting on the ground themselves.
They're not doing that. Pakistan is just a proxy country. It's just anyone can buy them. There's such a mass poverty over there. Saudi Arabian money will buy them all the way through. And they are
Interestingly, they weren't able to buy them. The government of Pakistan refused to send its soldiers
to Yemen.
Maybe they've got more sense. Because as several callers have already pointed out, nobody enters Yemen and emerges victorious. It's like Afghanistan. It's a graveyard of imperial adventures. It's a graveyard for those who wish to subdue them.
You can't kill the common man's will. You see, you can't kill the common man's will anywhere. In Vietnam, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Yemen, wherever you think... Common men belong to there. They can't be run by this, by
well, that's right. I mean, Yemen is a very, very ancient and traditional place. The love of the people for their land and their territory is difficult for Western people quite to understand. We don't have the same attachment to our land as they do. But it's something sacred for them. And a foreigner going to Yemen receives a welcome and hospitality that has to be seen to be believed. But a foreigner who comes to Yemen bearing a weapon to take something from the Yemenis is asking for trouble, don't you think, Shujat?
Yeah, I don't think, this is the end of the Al Saud, I think. They're committing harakiri there in the long run. It will come completely against them. It's turning against them. Their rotu is coming within the next, I said, 5 years. Last time I spoke to you, I said 5 years I give them, maybe even less than that before the end. And that's what's going to happen. It won't last that long. I mean, more sacrifices have to be coming. There'll be more deaths and more bombings and more drones. God forbid, I hope not, but that will happen. Any revolution comes through blood. It doesn't come without blood. You see, blood has to be spilled. That's the whole irony of the thing. But that will be a permanent change, a big change in the whole world's, the geopolitics of the Middle East will change for a good time.
Yes.
So I hope the sacrifice made by the Yemeni poor people is well taken. It's been built on the back of the Yemeni peasant, the poor Yemeni man who is sacrificing his life and blood and his home for getting something done. I hope he gets that. I'm all with him, and I respect him a lot, and I hope that, with your support, he should be able to do something. But definitely, it's very bad what's going on. It's amazing.
Well, God works in mysterious ways. Maybe the end of this tyranny will come through a final act of tyranny. Shujat in London, thanks for an excellent call. I must say the callers have been top class tonight and from all over the world. We're discussing why hasn't Saudi Arabia achieved its aims in Yemen in 237 days. A number of possible reasons have been advanced. One, as Shujat was just saying, is the fighting capability and the fighting spirit of the Yemeni people. Another is simply that their aims, Saudi's aims in Yemen, are so unjust that divine providence cannot possibly smile upon such a set of aims. Let's hear from Mahgoub in Bonn in Germany. Mahgoub, welcome.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Well, in fact, the topic, one of the most important things which really disturbs me is the position of the Secretary General of the United Nations on the issue. You know,
has he said anything at all on it?
Yeah. The problem is, the Yemenis have been asking them to come and help, but none has, made a move. What Saudi Arabia has done to bring a government which in fact the Yemenis had voted out, the man had resigned, and he just, in a very fishy manner, managed to cross and get down to the Saudi camp, only to be prepared to come back by force of the Saudi power. And that is, in fact,
it's not much of a war aim, is it? To reinstate somebody called Hadi, a person of no consequence, who wasn't elected in the first place, who has no real support in the country, on the presidential chair of the poorest country in the Arab world. I mean, it's not a very ambitious program. They tried to spin it as a sectarian thing, but it isn't a sectarian thing. The people on both sides are basically the same religion and the same sect, even. They tried to say that it's about stopping the Houthi from ruling all of Yemen, but the Houthi don't want to rule all of Yemen, couldn't rule all of Yemen. All the Ansarullah, which is the alliance of the Houthi and the supporters of the former President Ali Abdullah Saleh, all that they want is a government of national unity that does not discriminate against any of the tribes and gives everybody a share of the power. Am I right?
Correct. 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 That's correct, George. And in fact, if that was the case, you said they were bringing a legitimate government back to the power in the country. Yeah, again, the question is here. Why has Putin not done the same to Ukraine? Because the elected president was, you know, kicked out of the country, and Putin received him and kept him.
Yes,
and never came
you're
back
right.
To fight,
if Russia,
fight him to
if
power.
Russia was acting like Saudi Arabia, they would now be at war with Ukraine.
That's right.
To reinstate the president who was overthrown in a revolution.
Correct, George. So
the double standards are even greater than I imagined when I started the show.
Yes, correct.
Is this him? Is this
correct,
Hadi?
George. Correct, George.
I don't even know. I don't even recognize his face. Thousands of people are being killed to put him back in a chair he was never elected to in the first place. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's correct, George. That's correct. So those who are backing the Yemen, the Saudi Arabia's bombing of Yemen, should in fact look at the two aspects of what the Russian did and what the Americans and the Saudis are doing in Yemen. What is the legality? What is justice here?
When one looks at Philip Hammond implied, indeed stated, he didn't imply, he stated that it was somehow an international conflict, as if it had been approved by anybody.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Magob in Bonn in Germany. Thanks for the call. We've really toured Europe as well as the world tonight, and there's still time for more. Get on the phone, get on the text and email and on the Twitter. And, of course, you can continue this debate on Twitter after the show, and I keep a close eye on what people are saying. So I was summarizing earlier the reasons why Saudi Arabia hasn't achieved its aims. And we've come up with a number of possibilities. The unjust nature of their intentions must mean that no divine providence can accompany such a set of unjust aims. The fighting spirit of the Yemenis, the lack of fighting spirit of the Saudis, their unwillingness, inability to actually enter Yemen on foot and prevail, because their people, their army, will not fight for them. Certainly will not be prepared to die for them. Let's go to South Africa now and talk to Rahman. Always worthwhile. Rahman, welcome.
Salaam alaikum to you, Brother George.
Wa alaikum salam.
I would like to tell you that the UN, unfortunately, has become a Tea Party, an exclusive club. They are voiceless, they are useless. They must be closed down, shut down. In fact, they should be bombed. The reason why the Saudis can't defeat the Yemenis is because they watch too many Hollywood movies. They've been influenced by this American propaganda. And another thing I would like to say to these backward Muslims, they mustn't call the king the custodian of Makkah and Medina. They should call him the custodian of Israel and America. Because these pagans, their understanding of heaven and hell and Jannah and all these things, it is all based on the 1001 Arabian Nights. And they think when they die in the path of their so-called God, they're going to go to heaven. They should change this concept, then they will come right. The concept is based on fairy tales, not on reality. Jazakallah.
Thank you very much, Rahman. Spirited, as always. You always outflank me in your attitude to the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. Let's go to the next caller, who is Hassan in Nigeria. Go on, Hassan.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Galloway.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for everything, Mr. Galloway. You are really trying, and I pray very well for you, for your health, for your family.
Inshallah.
I want to find out one thing. Why is Saudi Arabia tentacles are spread to the overthrow of the Libyan government? Saudi Arabia's tentacle was is in Syria, is in Bahrain, now is in Yemen. What do they want to achieve?
And it's very difficult to work
that
out. It's very difficult to work that out. Presumably, they want to keep the ISIL Takfiri fanatics at arm's length, so they make them stronger elsewhere. Seems a very foolish and short-sighted view to me.
And unfortunately, Mr. Galloway, they started this war on Yemen even before the fasting period. They continue all through the fasting period, and after the fasting period, and up to this moment, 7 or 8 months now, they could not achieve their aim. And can somebody speak to Saudi Arabia? Are they not a role model to the Islamic world, unfortunately? Today, their image has already deteriorated. They do not represent the Muslim Ummah. It's very, very pathetic, Dr. Galloway. I don't even know what name I can give to Saudi Arabia. It's very, very unfortunate.
Well, we should really stop calling it Saudi Arabia. You know, a country shouldn't be called after the ruling family. No, even Kim Jong-il didn't rename North Korea Kim Jong-ilia. I'm not sure that we should dignify this calling of the ancient and holy land of Arabia with the name of such a rotten royal family. But it's not up to me, I suppose, to make that decision. Hassan in Nigeria, thank you very much. Let me say again the bits that I didn't get to in the summary of the reasons for the failure, and one of them was given by Ziad in Michigan, in the United States. It's one I hadn't heard before or thought of before, and it's this, that actually they are militarily not very effective even from the air. And Ziad's theory was that they don't actually have all the weapons that they claim to have bought. And that is a very tantalizingly interesting theory, because there is no doubt with every arms deal there is a gigantic slush fund kickback sweetener to the Saudi royals. They have openly admitted this in the past. In the film I've just made and just finished about Tony Blair, one of them does just that on screen, openly admitting that they are thieves, that they are stealing their country's money through arms deals. But I hadn't actually thought of the point that Ziad made, that not only are these arms deals only entered into in order to corruptly reward the members of the Saudi royal family with ill-gotten gains, but that perhaps these weapons are not even being delivered in the first place. I always believed that they couldn't use all these weapons that they were buying, that they didn't have the military expertise. I mean, the sons of these people are not joining the military, for goodness sake, having to get up early in the morning and make sure they're properly attired and running over obstacle courses and doing weapons training and so on. The sons of these people are in their Lamborghinis, in the casinos, and in the bordellos of the Western world, where they wallow in every kind of sin, every kind of sin. So they don't actually want to be in a military power, because that would require some sweat, some hard work. They, of course, are ready to hire mercenaries. They've hired mercenaries in the past. I don't know why these Sudanese soldiers have been sent there. I would have thought Sudan had more than enough problems of its own. I would have thought that Sudan needed all the soldiers it could get to hold on to what is left of Sudan. But let me speculate, I'm only speculating, that Saudi Arabia has bribed the leadership in Sudan to send its soldiers into Yemen. But it will not change anything. It will not prevail. Saudi Arabia and mercenaries fighting for it are not going to prevail over the Yemenis. I mean, no one, in my experience, has ever prevailed over the Yemenis. Not President Nasser, not the Turks, not the British. They were beleaguered until the day that they were chased out of Aden, out of the crater district in Aden. The Yemeni people will defend their land, their sovereignty, their dignity, to the end of the last of their breaths. That's something which history really ought to have shown them by now. Ibrahim is in Nigeria. Let's hear from him. He's in the UK. I beg your pardon. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Firstly, I want to thank you, Brother George, for defending humanity. I commend your courage. Secondly, I just want to say to the country who criticized kids, who can they be the head of the Humanities Rights Council, there is a double standard in United Nations.
Ibrahim, what age are you?
I'm 12 years old, sir.
MashaAllah. Another you, star is born. Young Ibrahim in London is able to see the double standard, the hypocrisy in making that regime the head of a human rights panel. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times I say it or think about it, it doesn't become any less absurd. Human rights don't exist in Saudi Arabia. Even the Saudi Arabian regime would not pretend or claim that they did exist. And yet they've been placed by this absurdity of the United Nations, this Don Ki Moon of the United Nations, placed at the head of a human rights panel. Ibrahim.
Yes, sir.
What do you think is the number one reason why Saudi Arabia is losing the battle in Yemen?
Pardon?
Why do you think the Saudis are losing in Yemen?
Because people are united against the Saudis.
MashaAllah. Ibrahim, thank you for a wonderful call and for your kind words. Age 12, Ibrahim in London. We had Robert in Peterhead, who's 16, has been calling here since he was 14 or even less. You see, the young generation now have at their fingertips the truth and the knowledge. It can no longer be denied to them by the so-called mainstream television broadcasters, who, if they've ever broadcast one piece of footage from the slaughter in Yemen, I missed it. I've never read anything about Yemen in most, if not all, of the so-called mainstream British newspapers. But our young people, with their own fingertips on the internet, can find the truth. And here is the truth: that this rotten dictatorship of Saudi Arabia cannot prevail in Yemen because their aims are so unjust that no divine providence could smile upon it. Because the Yemenis are too tough and too dedicated and devoted to their land, to defending themselves, their families, their religion, their territory, and their honor and their dignity, not something that the Saudi regime knows anything about. Remember, you can continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. It's been marvelous.
Hello, if you just comment your name and the face of your account number, and just make sure that your telephone volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know, I know. You need a register to put through your phone number, and then
we'll
call you back.
Comment. And then I can have your telephone number.
Okay, so I'll
call you back to me next year.